week, before I get started, as we're on forgiveness, last week I was teaching and we were in 2 Chronicles, and I always tell you that keep showing up, and I encourage you to keep getting in the Word because the Word is changing you. Last week in the teaching, I got corrected by my wife when I got out of class. She said, she told me great lesson. She said, but you said something, and I don't want it to come out the wrong way. And when you said it, it contradicts everything that you say all the time. And I said, if you're not going to be in church, if you're not going to come to church and be changed, then don't come. Just stay at home. And I was speaking to God. God wants you hot or cold. And, you know, I'm not telling you don't come. I want you to keep coming. But what I was really trying to say is, if you decide not to come and be cold, God knows how to do something hot real quick. And so if you heard that last week, I was not trying to discourage. I was trying to encourage. Because if you belong to God, it don't matter where you are. You're going to get hot anyway. Amen. I was only speaking out of experience because I had a lukewarm relationship with God, and God said, I can't deal with you. And I went out into the world, and I was ice cold. But God knew it. God came and got me, and I've been hot ever since. I'm sizzling right now. I'm fried and dyed and laid to the side. It's done. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and then we're going to turn to our main text for the night. I want to really just end on what we were talking about last week. Very, very familiar passage of text. It is so often quoted. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, those of you who weren't here, I would invite you to read 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and then read chapter 7, 1 through 14, because I guarantee you, you'll begin to see why God responded this way as he responds to Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse 14. Mm-hmm. So the response was back to Solomon. And Solomon, if you understand anything about Solomon, Solomon is the wisest king that ever lived. And so Solomon writes the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, so that we can have a reference point on God's wisdom. And so when you study the book of Proverbs, you are really getting wisdom from the greatest, the wisest king that ever lived, because he didn't ask God for riches. He asked God for wisdom. Amen. And if you get God's wisdom, you can get all the riches. Right? And if you go after God's riches and you don't have no wisdom, you're going to lose the riches anyway. So we want the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is a relationship with him. Having the wisdom of God means that you are in relationship with him. You want him, not his hands, not his stuff, and not his blessings. You want him. That's wisdom. Because if you can get the heart of God, you can have the rest of God. Don't you remember when you were dating? If you got her heart, you got everything else. If you got his heart, you got everything else. If you get the heart of God, then you can have the rest of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the king, and you can have the dome. In other words, if you get the king, you can have his dominion. If you got the king in you, then you can have dominion over the earth like he called you to have it. There's no reason for us to walk around like wimps when we have the king. Amen. And if we have the king, then we ought to take dominion over the king's place. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everybody who belongs to God should walk with their head up and know that you are royalty in the king's priesthood. And so you don't have to put your head down, that God's going to work everything out for your good anyway because you love him. I don't know who needed that. Mm-hmm. Verse number 14 says, if my people, now get this, it's an if there, right? Now, if you think right instead of thinking wrong, it changes everything.
Amen.
You know that if speaks to what's coming after the if, right? And so if, and so often like, if I would have did this, if I would have done that. And so God says, if my people, who's his people? If my people who are called by my name, guess what? God called you by his name. He made you a part of him. You did not call you. The preacher didn't do it. God did you. So if my people who are called by my name, the first thing he says, would humble themselves. So if humility was your first step, then you can get the rest of the steps. But you cannot avoid humility without being raised up. James 4:10 says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he will raise you up. Most of us want to bypass humility so that we can be elevated. Because humility does not look good, humility does not feel good. But before Jesus was raised up, he had to go through the garden and suffer unto humility and be spit on, despised, and rejected. Whipped all night, nailed to a post. Humility had to come before victory is put in place. So God said, if my people would humble themselves, would humble, be humble. Do you know we struggle with being humble? And you wonder why we go through what we go through? It's because God says he who began a good work in you will complete it. So if you don't get humbled, he will humble you. And we walking around crying and complaining about the very thing that's doing the best work for us. Would humble themselves, then he says, and pray.
Amen.
And seek my face. It does not say seek his hands.
Right.
You know how most of us we pray? God, help me. I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. How about this? God, I just need you. Because the truth be told, I don't even know what I need.
Right, right.
Last time you gave me what you what I needed, I gave it back.
Right.
And the reason why we pray that way is because we are not humbled yet.
Right.
We want our will instead of his will.
Right.
God, I need you to bless me with this job. That job is going to kill you. I'm not giving you that one. Praying for something that you don't even know is God's will for your life. God, if this is for me, open the door. And I'm walking in bold. But if it's not for me, shut the door. And I'm going to praise you until whatever you have for me. Because as long as I got you, I'm not going to worry about nothing. Pray, pray. He said, pray and seek my face. My hands are holding your blessings. But as long as you're going after my hands, I can't release it. In other words, his faith is the on button. If you could get in the face of God, then the switch releases his hands. And then the blessings of God that are promised for your life was predicated on you getting in his face. Then it says, and turn from their wicked ways. And turn. Turn speaks to repentance. Many people think repentance means saying I'm sorry. Repentance doesn't mean saying you're sorry. Repentance means you're in sin and you totally turn 180 degrees from the sin that you were in. So then you reposition yourself. I told you a few weeks ago, you are not from the city you were born in. You are from heaven. You are kingdom kids. When you repent, you are returning to the right place of having a kingdom life. And now living in kingdom living because you have repented from evil and turned to good. The power is in the turn. The power is in the turn. Do you understand? Sometimes we get so focused on what went wrong that it's hard to turn.
Yeah, that's true.
That you stay here and you'll invite somebody else to the party and talk about what's wrong. And you're so focused on everything that went wrong that you stay engulfed in your past instead of your future. Therefore, you dwell on the wrong when it's going wrong. You know how it is. Somebody do you wrong? You don't want to keep that to yourself. You're going to call at least two or three folks and tell them about the one who did you wrong. Because you don't want to be at that party all by yourself. Yeah. Breaking news, you don't even have to be at the party. Last time I went to a party that I didn't belong to, I just left. Yeah. You ever show up somewhere and you're looking? Oh, no, I ain't going in there. That's what happens when the enemy is serving us up. We allow him to get us to focus on his work. When God has called you to some kingdom work. And because the enemy knows how valuable you are to the kingdom, that he sends devices your way. And he tricks you to look at what went wrong. And as long as you look at what was wrong, it's delaying you from operating in the kingdom work that God has assigned you to do. So then, The enemy wants you to stay focused. Isn't it like some people get in your life? And they see where you're focused and won't even tell you? Don't even worry about that.
Right.
God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Anybody, you got some foes in your life, they call themselves your friend.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to find a way away from it, you got them telling you, oh, no, don't you let them get away with that.
Right.
You no, they never should have did that to you.
Right.
And you say, and then you, what you do, you the old folks, you, I mean the older folks would say, they would call it stewing.
Stewing.
When you stay focused on it. And I didn't know what they meant until my mom started making stew. And the longer it simmered, the better it tasted. It got more potent. Everything got juicier. And so the more you focus on what's wrong, the more the wrong begins to take you over. And then before you know it, you are hotter than fish grease. And you going off on folks that you normally wouldn't go off on. Say the power's in the turn. So then we see that God has shown us that he works in the circular motion so that when we get into something, we would understand that we are just one turn away. Just one turn. You might be in winter, but spring is just one turn. So then you don't have to experience what's going on in winter for too long because you are one turn away. And the power is in the turn. If you can just turn your ways to God's way, then the power of God gets released. Say it's in the turn. Say, we'll turn from their wicked way. Let me share something with you. I know you don't think your ways are wicked. Here's some breaking news. Your ways are wicked. But you have the Holy Spirit, and his ways are perfected. And so there's a battle that goes on. Paul says there's a constant battle going on. Although I do will to do right, evil is ever present. And every time I think I'm doing right, I end up doing wrong. And so he lets us know. Now, Paul writes all of this. So then why do we come to church and act like we got it all together? We are in a fight every day. Every day. But listen, the Lord wants you to know that just because you're in a fight, you don't have to stay in the fight. Where is the power at?
In the turn.
In the turn. So you could turn from every fight that is before you. You have a choice. You do not have to engage. You could turn. Jesus turned the other cheek. Wham! Yeah, I lost half of you because none of you would get down like that. We're not there yet. We're on our way. But truly, truly, if you look back on every situation that you stayed engaged in that you knew you shouldn't have, if you would have turned away, if my people who are called by my name would just turn, life would be so much better. We want to get in fights with folks for crazy stuff. Going down the road the other day, I'm just having a good time. And they just flipped me off. And I didn't even know why. And so I turned my music up. Because I'm trying to stay engaged with God. Then I took the exit. And I ran into them again. Now they next to me. And I look over, and they cussing me out. And I'm looking at them, And the song was saying, the song was playing, you thought I was worth saving.
Right.
You came and changed my life.
Right.
And I looked over, and there was a battle going on.
Right.
Because I wanted to tell them, pull that motor scooter over. But the power of God turned me back to what was bringing me joy. And I quit looking at them. And when I quit looking at them, I started thinking about him. And I started singing louder. And I had the biggest smile on my face. And then I looked back over at them. While they was mad, I gave them one of these. And then I cruised on away. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. The power is that simple. If you could just turn away from evil when evil presents itself, turn from it. Yeah. You got to encourage other folks, too, that they call you up. You just tell them it's your turn. It's your turn to turn. Don't worry about it no more. Y'all got the power? It's in the turn. Do you know that your turn? I was looking at God, and he deals with everything in cycles and the circular thing. He even sits on the circle of the earth, and he has all these things going in circular motion, and that's how God works. He just continues to work, and that now you need to understand this, that sometimes you might be at the bottom of the circle, but if you're at the bottom of the circle, you should be having a hallelujah good time, because it's going in a cycle. Your next move is going to be up here. And so no matter what's going on in your life, as long as you stay focused on him, you know everything is going to be all right anyway. It is all right. It's already all right. He said, turn from their wicked ways. Then he said, then. So wait. He says, then. In other words, until you turn, he don't move. I told you the power is in the turn. God will stand back and wait for you to turn so he can have his turn. And the reason why God has not moved is because you have not moved. So we cannot blame God because he's waiting on you. And when you make your turn, it is his turn. You stay right there until he does what he has to do. He waited for you to do you, so you might as well wait for him to have his turn. You know, I watch my kids, and my kids teach me a lot. They had the iPad in the back seat. I gave it to one, and my little boy started playing, and my 8-year-old, she started bossing him around. It's my turn. He just had it for 30 seconds. She said, we got to share. He said, I just got it. She tricked him and said, no, we got to share. He gave it to her. And so she's playing on it 2-3 minutes, and he's waiting. He said, when is it my turn? She said, oh, I'm going to give it to you. I got one more game to play. I said, why? You want your turn. But when you give it back to him, you won't let him have his turn. And I thought about us. We want our turn. And then when it's God's time to move, as long as God waited for us to wait on our turn, then we want God to hurry up and do his thing so we can get it back in our hand. He says, your turn predicates his move.
Amen.
He said, then you'll hear from heaven. In other words, then God says, my voice. Now, let's check this out. You'll hear from heaven. Check out God. When God got ready to create, he said, let it be. When God speaks, it shall be. He says, when it's his turn, he's going to speak over your life, and it shall be. Check out what he said. He said, then you will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Right? He says, when I speak, when it's my turn over your life, I bring forth forgiveness power. Because here's some truth. A lot of us struggle with forgiving others, and it's hard to make the turn because you haven't embraced the forgiving power that he's given you. Because what you get, you give out. And if it's hard for you to forgive, it's because you haven't embraced forgiveness. So then he said, you'll hear from heaven. Now get this. He says, first, I'm going to forgive. Then I'm going to heal. Forgiveness will release healing. You know how you could be mad at somebody for a long time, but until you forgive them, it's hard to let go, forget about it. So he says, I'm going to send forgiveness, and that's going to produce healing in the land. It's time for healing to be released. In your family, on your job, amongst your friends, in your community. And he's telling us how this is done. Real quick, turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. We there? Okay, let's go. We only got 5 minutes.
And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house.
Mm-hmm. So again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard. Check this out. It was heard he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. It was heard that Jesus is in the house. Rumor has it that Jesus is in the house. I looked on Facebook and they told me Jesus was in the house. They told me you got to get down to his presence because Jesus is in the house. I heard. Check this out. Verse 2.
Many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near to the door. And he preached the word to them.
Immediately, many gathered together because Jesus was in the house. So that there was no room to receive them, not even near the door. It was packed. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. They couldn't get him in the house, but they knew Jesus was in the house. So the four men went and picked up another brother who could not walk to the house to get him in the house. I don't know what else was wrong with him, but he needed to be in the house. Isn't it something that we know somebody that needs to be in the house. And we know Jesus is in the house. And he's changing you. And you haven't made the effort that these four brothers got together and said, I'm going to get this man to the house. Because Jesus is in the house. Says they uncovered the roof. They couldn't get through the windows. It was crowded. They couldn't get through the door. It was crowded. Back in those days, they had stairs that went up the side of the house. And so they went up the stairs and they began to tear a hole in the roof. Isn't that, that's desperation. Huh? Faith making you radical. Can't use the door. Talk about me if you want to. I'm going through the roof. Folk will pull up at the church, and if they don't have a seat, they'll turn around and leave. But not these men. Jesus was in the house. They said they lowered him. They uncovered the roof where he was, so when they had broken through, they let him down. Let the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their attitude, their faith, he saw the new suit. He saw their big smile. Jesus is so raw, he can see our faith. Can't nobody else see faith, but Jesus can. Listen, Jesus sees your faith. And if you radical enough to believe hard enough, you could bring a pimp in here that's pimping hard and know that if he get in Jesus' house, he gonna leave one, come in as a pimp and leave as a preacher because Jesus can turn a situation upside. Oh, don't you mess around and bring somebody in the house. But we'll pass by the dope dealer and talk about the dope he's dealing while you on the way to church. I dare two or three brothers to get together and understand that that brother needs help too. I double dog dare you to relate to yourself how toe up from the floor up you were before you had an encounter with Jesus. He said, he saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, now get this. Now, he was paralyzed, but Jesus didn't deal with the paralysis. He dealt with the root of the paralysis. In other words, he won't deal with the dope dealer. He'll deal with the root that caused him to become a dope dealer. He won't deal with the prostitution. He'll deal with the root that caused him to cause her to be a prostitute. We pick and choose who we want to get saved, and our faith has become so minimized that we drive past opportunities. Wow. Let me tell you why. Because we're so stuck on what's going on in our life. These four brothers weren't stuck. They were on a mission. You want to see missionary? This is missionary 101. They went, they got them, they distribute the weight and said, come on, we're going to get them in the house. Jesus said, he saw their faith. It wasn't even about, he said, he was so moved by the faith of the believers that he looked at their faith and then said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. When he sent the forgiveness power to the man, It broke everything that was constricting his movement. What am I saying? I don't know what's causing you not to move, but the forgiving power of God will break every chain and break every yoke and set you free to do the kingdom work he has called you to do. We're going to stop right there because an argument broke out amongst the Pharisees. Those were the church folks that came to church just to be impressive. These four radicals, brothers, wasn't trying to come to church. They were being the church.